Today, brothers and sisters, we begin to hear the voice of Jesus through the evangelist Saint Luke, who will accompany us throughout all Sundays of the ordinary time, year C. From the beginning of his gospel, Luke tells us that the story he began to write is addressed to his Theophilus. He told him, "I have decided, after investigating everything accurately on you, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, so that you will realize the certainty of the teachings you have received." Thus, brothers and sisters, if the purpose of his story is this one, then we must also become aware of the importance of meditating on the gospel of the Lord, which is for us a living word, and therefore it is every day and always new. You must have noticed that in St. Luke, the story about Jesus begins with the return of Jesus to Nazareth in the synagogue, where for the first time he confronts his audience with a truly incredible affirmation. Jesus gets up, takes the scroll, and begins to read a passage from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me," he commands. All are hanging on his lips. They are all the more so because this well-known text, this well-known passage, is one of the main prophecies about the Messiah. So, what will Jesus say? Indeed, this is where an unprecedented event occurs. Jesus closes the book, gives it to the servant, sits down, and declares, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." No one so far had dared to speak like this. No one. All the rabbis, all the teachers of the law, and even all the prophets, even the greatest, such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, had always spoken to the future. They had recalled the promises of God. They had revived the faith and hope of the people, their expectations, their desire for the kingdom of God and the Messiah that would come. Never had anyone said, "It is done, it is accomplished, it is now." So in the synagogue, there is an overwhelming silence. And at the exit, in the square or in the shops, surely only his name was talked, nothing else. "Should we believe Jesus?" they asked themselves. "Why does he say, 'I came to proclaim the good news to the poor. I came to bring freedom to the prisoners, to the blind the light, to the oppressed the deliverance'? Isn't it too beautiful?" some people think. Some others murmur, "It's madness. Who the hell does he think he is?" At that moment, for Jesus, the tragedy of misunderstanding begins, a tragedy that will end 3 years later in his passion and his death on a cross. Dear brothers and sisters, in addition to this great revelation made by Jesus about his quality, his role and mission as a Messiah, the first chapter of St. Luke's Gospel contains all the truths, which it is good to stop a little because they are particularly important. First of all, by making this solemn declaration, today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. By making this declaration, Jesus makes us understand that he is in person, the living word of God, the Father. Let us remember the author of the letter to the Hebrews. He states that often, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets. In this last day where we are, he spoke to us to a son whom he made heir of all things and through whom he created the universe. Yes, Jesus is the word pronounced from the eternity by the Father. Him, Jesus, wants us to look at him like the word of God incarnate, according to the affirmation of St. John in his prologue. He proclaims, "The word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us." So it can be said that Jesus is a fulfilled good news, a message not only read, but lived. To the point that the words that Jesus pronounces are Jesus himself. This is the reason why the gospel cannot be compared to any other book. In the gospel, it is God himself who speaks. This means that all evangelical words are charged with divinity. Also, what is important to emphasize in this very short but powerful homily that Jesus delivered after reading Isaiah's passage is the importance of the word today. What does it mean? That means this living word of God, that is Christ Jesus, has never been silent. Because Jesus is risen, meaning that he is still alive and that he is present, although invisible, among men and women. It must be our conviction, brothers and sisters, as it was the conviction of the early church. So, if Jesus is resurrected and continues to live among us, his words are not a mere souvenir or memory. No. Even if they were pronounced in the past, they are addressed to us, to each of us, today and now. Yes, Jesus Christ, in him, God always speaks in the present and refers us to our actuality, always. I used to speak this passage saying that it is the difference between our religion and the others, especially the Muslim religion. We can, every Sunday when we come Mass, we can know what Jesus wants for us today and for the week. In the Quran, you cannot take yourself in explaining the todays of the Quran. In the Gospel, the Word of God, the living Word of God, is for us every day. Thus, may this look of faith on the Word of God inspire us to listen to it and to read it with a greater attention. We will then have to meditate on it assiduously. In any case, we will never quite understand how the Word of God is an indispensable food for our soul, food for our faith, just as communion with the body of Christ is the indispensable food for our charity. It is for this reason, moreover, that the Church proposes to us the liturgy of the Word every Sunday in the first part of the Mass. So it is very important that when we come to the Eucharist celebration, we arrive before the readings, before the liturgy of the Word, to know what is the message for me, for my family, for us, the Church, what is the message of Jesus today. Then, as it was claimed 700 years before Jesus Christ by the prophet Jeremiah, the more we will make an effort to devour the Word of God and to assimilate it, Jeremiah said that, the more we will come to embody it to the point of becoming, in our turn, becoming living gospels, becoming lived words, becoming other Jesus, following the example of Mary, the first Christian, the Christian par excellence. Mary, who was all clothed with the Word of God. Mary, who was so nourished, so needed, that she willingly used God's words to express herself, as we hear it in the Magnificat. So, brothers and sisters, let us ask during this Mass the grace to become docile and efficacious instruments of the today of salvation, that by our lives of charity and ministry to the poor, we become limpid witnesses of God and instruments of His saving word. Let us say to our Master that we love Him, serve Him, and give ourselves totally to Him, for He is our saving Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.